Our first reading from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, comes from Colossians. If you've been following along in recent weeks, we continue to march through this letter of Paul and also through the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. But first from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 19. If you'd like to read along as I read, you can find it in your pew Bible on page 189. So hear these words. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in Him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with Him in baptism, you were also raised with Him through faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Him when He forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grow with a growth that is from God. The word of God from the people of God. Thanks be to God. Page 67 of the New Testament is the place you'll find the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And as I've mentioned, we're moving right through, starting this week where we left off last week. So hear the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after He had finished, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Prayer is one of the real mysteries of faith and of life in the church. To be a Christian is to pray. And yet, prayer is both familiar and foreign. It is comforting and perhaps confounding. It can be simple and straightforward, and yet, for many of us, it is complicated and uncomfortable. I have known so many people who have grown up in the church, and throughout all their lives, they have prayed every Sunday in corporate worship, but who still get a little squirmy when I ask them if they pray when they are alone. I'm not really sure that I know how to pray. I've heard that lament many times from folks who've gone to church all their lives and from newcomers. But it should make us all feel better to realize that even after having followed Jesus Christ around for several years, His own disciples were not really sure how to pray. This Luke passage begins with this point. One of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples." This was a fairly common practice at the time with followers of a spiritual leader. This teacher would teach the followers how they were to pray. So perhaps we modern Christians are in exactly the same boat. You know, I think if you were to ask the average Christian on the street to recite a prayer, my guess is that this average believer would most likely be able to cite the Lord's Prayer before any other. They might be able to say some form of grace, like you do at table, but I would still guess that the most commonly known prayer would be this one, the Lord's Prayer. And yet, I would almost guarantee that the average person would have no clue about where this prayer comes from. But now, you know. Of the four Gospels in the New Testament, only Luke and Matthew have a version of this story, but each of these books has a slightly different version of this prayer. And as you have surely picked up on, this version is not the prayer that we pray and we will pray today. Over time, the church has embellished this prayer, and different denominations have slightly different versions. But overall, it seems to have stayed true to Jesus' original intent. But that brings up an interesting question. Do you suppose that Jesus intended for His apostles and therefore for us to use these words verbatim? Or was He simply providing us with a model, a pattern that we should follow? Well, I don't think that Jesus was giving us a script to read and memorize. I believe that Jesus was simply helping us to understand what prayer is all about, how we are to approach our relationship to God. There have been thousands of books, literally thousands, written about prayer, books that tell you how to pray. But I think there are some fundamental elements to prayer that we can glean from Scripture itself and from Jesus' own words. The bottom line regarding prayer, it's about relationship. Jesus has a unique relationship with God, a unique relationship with each one of us individually, and a unique relationship with all of us collectively. So if we use Jesus as our model, we should have an intimate relationship with God, as well as a strong relationship with and among each other. As you read the Bible, you understand that many times Jesus went off alone to pray directly and privately to God, as he was doing at the start of the Luke passage that I read. But Jesus also taught his followers how to pray as a combined body, as the church. And so, United Methodist people believe that we should pray alone and we should pray together with equal regularity and equal focus. If you listen today as we are praying together the Lord's Prayer, you will notice very quickly that it doesn't say me or I, but rather we, us, and our. This is clearly a prayer from all of us in relationship to God. But obviously, Jesus has a unique relationship with God. But our relationship with God is completely different from anything we have here on earth. About the closest human relationship that we can liken it to is the relationship between parent and child, between father and son. Our relationship with God is that close, that intimate. And yet, at the same time, this relationship is more distant and more reverential than any human relationship could ever be. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, God who knows us better than any human parent could ever know us, but this parent is in heaven. This parent is so completely holy and wonderful that even his name is hallowed. His name is revered because it is so special. Our Father is both immanent and transcendent. God is closer than our own heartbeat, and yet God is bigger and farther away than the darkest reaches of the universe. We often think of prayer as our way to ask God to give us what we think we need to fulfill our wishes. Some cynics refer to this model as God as the cosmic vending machine. Some of my brothers and sisters in ministry talk about the gospel of prosperity. They tell us that if you're pious enough, if you are holy enough, then surely God will happily grant your wishes. If you pray in the right way, in the right frame of mind, God will love to give you that new Lexus, or that new house, or those millions of dollars. Well, I don't see it that way, and more importantly, neither does Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are asking that God bring about God's kingdom on this earth. We are asking that God will bend our wills to the will of God. This brings to mind that mysterious and incredibly thought-provoking explanation on Jesus' part. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, those prosperity preachers will tell you that this is exactly the section that explains their assertion that God will grant your wishes, that God will give you everything that you ask for. But I see it differently. Yes, God will answer your prayer, but the response that you get may not be the one you were hoping to receive. When you search, you will find. But it may not be the discovery that you had envisioned. And when you knock on that door, the door that opens may not be the exact one upon which you are knocking. God knows each of us better than we know ourselves. So God listens to our prayers, and God provides what we need, not necessarily what we want or what we think we need, because nowhere in the Scripture does it say that Jesus promised that God will answer our prayers with the exact outcome that we are hoping for. But like a good parent, God will provide us with what is best for us and best for the kingdom. You know that whole passage of Luke where Jesus tells the story of going to a friend's house at midnight to ask for 3 loaves of bread to serve to a guest? This is generally thought to be a lesson in perseverance in prayer, that we should constantly come back and ask God for what we think we need. But I also see this story as a wonderful lesson in how we are to live together in community. This friend who's already in bed, this friend who hears his buddy banging on the door at midnight, not only does he want to keep this friend quiet and hope that he will go away, but he also realizes that he lives in the same neighborhood with this guy. And come tomorrow morning, he'll have to continue to be a neighbor, so he needs to pay attention to the relationship that he has with this midnight door banger. When we pray, we are to persevere in talking to God, and we are to persevere in listening to God. We need to think about the kingdom of God and the body of Christ and how we might best be members together in God's community. When you get right down to it, we could talk for hours and days and years about prayer and about how Jesus has taught us to pray. And frankly, you might not agree with the way I have interpreted this scripture, but I would challenge you to go back and study this passage and see what you think it says, because after all, that's the point. It's about relationships. Your relationship with God, your relationship with this faith community, and our collective relationship with the Holy Trinity. And prayer, plain and simple, is our way of deepening and enriching these relationships. God is available to talk and to listen anytime, anywhere, anyhow. It's up to you to ask and to listen. It's up to you to pray. Amen.